Okay, I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and start. Dear Lord, I just thank you for today, Lord, and I pray that you would meet us here in this place, Lord, and that you would give me what you want me to say, God, and I thank you for giving me this material, Lord, when I didn't know what to have, Lord, that you gave me the verses, Lord, and everything that kind of just fell in place, and I pray that it would be smooth and it would make sense, and just thank you, Lord, for being in my life and just this reminder, Lord, of how good you've been to me. So this is just what God has shown me in my life through patience, contentment, fear, sadness, and joy. So I'll start off with getting married. I got married young. And I know that I'm kind of biased, but to the best man ever. And we were married for about a year, and then I decided that I was ready to have a baby, so I talked to him about it, and he said that was something he wanted to. So we started trying for a baby, and within 1 month, we got pregnant. It was easy, and I kind of took it for granted. But, you know, I was young, so. We lived in an apartment for about a year, and then we moved to a house. And the house was gifted to us at a lower rate than normally what you would pay. But it was also a major fixer-upper. And I had no idea because I'd only seen it once and it was dark. But I did a whole lot of complaining in that. And I, you know, I look back now and I came across very spoiled. And but, you know, I was very blessed to have a house at that price and to even have a house at the age that I was. And so I know that that was from God. And we still live in that house. And I love it now. It's where I've brought home both of my babies, and there's just a lot of good memories there. And so, you know, for that, I was blessed. So then let's fast forward to after Thomas was a little older, I decided I wanted to talk to Devin about having another baby. And he said yes. So we went ahead and decided we were going to try for another baby. And I thought that it was going to be just like last time. And so, you know, we started trying, and it was about 6 months, so no baby. So I was like, okay, that's a little stressful, but it's only 6 months. It's normal. Then it went about a year, and I was like, okay, we should probably go see a doctor. I went to the doctor. She said, there's nothing wrong. You should be fine. Basically, the grand total was 20 months of us trying for our second baby. And I went through a lot of, I was really angry during that time. And I was very fearful that I was only going to have one kid. And I couldn't understand why, if I had the desire to have more than one kid, why God would only give me one. And it was a whole lot of me and what I want. And I was still young, so, you know, I know now that God was trying to show me something through that. And some verses that I have for that time in my life that kind of kept me through was, the first one is Luke 8:15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. God was trying to teach me patience in this. I'm not a very patient person. And I know now that that's what he was trying to teach me, and that everything that God does in his perfect time is beautiful and it's perfect. And anything that we do in our own time is less than. And another verse I have for that is James 1:3-4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God had our perfect baby for us. And if he would have let me have the desire of my heart out of his will, I wouldn't have had Noah Jude. And we were blessed with Noah, and our two boys are our world. And then I have another verse. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I had something up in my hallway during this time, and it said, did you think to pray? Just a little note that I kept on a mirror in my hallway. I still have it up there. And I realized I went through a lot of these 20 months, and I hadn't prayed because I just got to a point where I didn't want to pray. I didn't know what to say. I just kind of, I'd sit there and I'd be like, I know I need to pray, but I didn't want to pray. And so I would just kind of let it be. Once I gave it to God and stopped stressing out about it and worrying about it so much, we eventually got pregnant with Noah. And he is a blessing to us. I remember praying at the women's conference that we had, and I prayed with Sheena, and I had no idea that I was already pregnant. I was only a few weeks pregnant, but I had no idea, and I will think of that forever. And then finally when I had my pregnancy with Noah, it was a really joyful time. I remember being so happy, you know, finally getting pregnant after 20 months. It seemed like, I know for some people, that's nothing. And for some people, that's a long time. And so for me, it was a long time. But when I finally got pregnant, I was so happy, and we were just ready for Noah. And I had a lot of, just a lot of joy during that time. After I had Noah, I wasn't ready to have him yet, and they induced me early. And so it was a good thing. When he came out, he had a double knot in his cord, and it was wrapped around his neck. And my mom, being a labor and delivery nurse, said that typically that doesn't normally have a good outcome. And so it was a good thing that he was born early, because, and God knows all these things. Because if he wouldn't have been born early, then something bad could have happened. And so that kind of put me in a weird mindset. Like, instead of being, you know, our brains are weird, and instead of just being happy that, you know, I had a baby, I went through a lot of like, well, what if this would have happened? We wouldn't have had Noah, and all these, you know, what ifs. And so it just kind of, my postpartum kind of started off weird. And I had just a lot of shame and guilt and all those hormones you get postpartum, and a lot of anxiety. And then I was trying to work through it, and about a week in, September 27th, 2019, Thomas started getting this weird rash and bruising and bleeding just one day. The rash started first, and then the bleeding and the bruising kind of came next. And so I went to Dr. Google, which I don't do that anymore. I went to Dr. Google and looked up all the symptoms, and the only thing sticking out to me was leukemia. And so I was convinced with my postpartum hormones, my baby's only a week old, I'm still trying to heal, that my then tiny little three-year-old, I was just convinced he had cancer. And that's one of my worst fears, is that my children would have cancer. And so we took him to the urgent care, and they said that the rash should go away on its own, but if it increases, to go to the emergency room right away. And I was like, okay, so don't worry about it, or go to the emergency room right away. Kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. And so the next day, the rash was still there, and so I made an appointment at the doctor, because I couldn't handle it. And so we went to the doctor, and he said, okay, I'll have an appointment for him to get blood work. And he kind of just smiled at me and said, I know you're worried about cancer, but you'll just have to wait and see till we get the blood work back. And it's not how I would talk to somebody, especially someone who looked a mess, because I looked a mess. And I've been crying all morning. I think I cried there while he was talking to me. So on the way to get Thomas blood work, he had his first nosebleed. And he doesn't have nosebleeds. I think it was the first one he's ever had in his life. And it was almost there that I was, like, confirmed in my own mind. He's got cancer, and he's going to die. Like, I just had it confirmed in my head. And I was having a panic attack in my car, and Devin was trying to calm me down while driving, and it just was a really, really scary time for me. So we went and got his blood taken, and the lady who took his blood said, yeah, there's something wrong, because she couldn't get the bleeding to stop while she was taking his blood. And the next morning, we got a call I went through that whole day, which felt like an eternity, waiting for the results back. And the next day we got a call and they told me that I needed to take him to the emergency room because his platelets were dangerously low. And then he had ITP. I can't pronounce the whole word, so I'm not going to say it. But even though it was confirmed that he had ITP, and it's not common, but it happens in his age group. If they have a cold or sickness, it's just his body's way of fighting itself. That it can be cured. They just give them plasma, and then they're usually fine after that. I was still convinced in my mind that he was going to die. It didn't matter what any doctor said to me. I was sure that he was going to die. And so my week-old baby kind of just, I don't remember much of the first couple months of his life because postpartum anxiety and depression, they kind of just stemmed from that, took over my life and stole my joy. And so Romans 8:28 is some verses that I have for this. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I know that what God had for me was good. And even in that time of fear and anxiety, I know that what he had for me was good. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." The New Living Translation says that he will calm your fears. And it's just, it's so true. When I find myself in that overwhelming fear and anxiety, I just have to go to the Lord and he quiets my fears. And, you know, I've been delivered from that. And I praise God for that because it was something that completely crippled me. And I would have panic attacks daily, multiple times a day, where I couldn't even get up off the floor. My husband had to try to pick me up off the floor. You know, not a tiny woman. And, you know, I kind of just stayed in bed all day, and he had to kind of take over, and it just was very crippling and not a good time for me. And after that, the fear kind of came. Fear is a big, big part of this for me, and the world got really bad with COVID, and so I was in fear of the world and fear for my kids. And a little while after Thomas with the ITP had kind of healed itself, things kind of calmed down a little bit, I went in for a well woman exam, and the doctor felt my thyroid and said that I needed to go get it checked because it felt abnormally large. Now, I do have thyroid disorder, so I knew that. So I went and got an ultrasound, and the ultrasound came back saying that I had 4 masses on my thyroid. And all of a sudden, this obsession with death came in again, and I was sure that I had thyroid cancer. And I remember laying in my mom's lap like a child, sobbing, because I didn't know who was going to take care of my kids, because I was going to die. And it was a hard time, and I had this anxiety that just stole my joy and this obsession with death. And my OCD was out of control, and it was a dark time for me, and I knew that I needed to run to God. And so I got in the Word with God, and I really just said, "God, I need you to take this from me. I can't live like this anymore. I want to enjoy my children. I want to live my life." And, you know, just choosing every day to get up and say, "I'm not going to let this steal my joy. I'm not going to let it change the course of my day. I'm going to choose to talk to God anytime I think about anything that makes me fearful. Anytime any obsessive thoughts come, I'm going to go to God." And I went to the doctor to do another, like a specific doctor for thyroids. And when he did the ultrasound on my thyroid, there was no masses detected. It was a miraculous healing from God. When I tell people that, they kind of look at me and they're like, "Yeah, I would get a second opinion." I've had people tell me that before. And I'm like, no, I was healed. And they kind of just look at me crazy. And I'm like, I saw on the screen there was nothing there. But people can't understand, you know, unless they know God. And that's the hope that we have in God. So I have some verses here. Hebrews 9:27. Hold on, I got so many. We'll skip that one. Psalm 139:16. Oh, I found it. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. God already knows the time that we're going to die. Our time is already written. Our life is already planned out. And Pastor Mark said in the sermon that we're not going until our work is done. And the world and Satan want us to believe that our death is going to be by chance. And that's something that really, really, truly helped me. And I'd never heard that verse before with this situation. And worrying about it is not going to do anything. And so, you know, just really remembering that God already knows. He already has our days planned. And he knows everything. And we're not going to go until it's time for us to go. And it's not going to be by chance. God is in control, and that really is something that helped me a lot. And I always remember that when the fear starts to come in, I say, no, God's in control. My days are already laid out. There's nothing that's going to change that. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Just the same thing. God already knows. And Psalm 31:14-15. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. God already knows. It's just that constant reassurance, because for me, that's what I need. And when I feel stressed out about dying or, you know, the fear comes in, I can read those and say, not today, not today. And so a couple years went by, and everything seemed to be in a better place. And then something happened in my life where I experienced immense pain and heartbreak that I had never experienced before. I had a lovely childhood, and I grew up seeing things in people for, you know, just kind of through rosy glasses, is what people would say. But as I've grown up, I've seen people for exactly what they are, sinners in a fallen world. And we all sin, and we all make mistakes. And I've kind of had to learn to not put people up on pedestals, because that's just not, you shouldn't do that. It's just not fair. And God worked a miraculous healing again in my heart and gave me unfathomable forgiveness that only he can provide. And even though there's still pain, I've forgiven the people who have caused me the pain and the heartbreak. There's obviously still work that needs to be done as far as healing and things go, but I've forgiven, and that's only by the grace of God. And that was a hard time for me and my family, but just seeing God's hand through it all is what's been amazing to me. How he's turned something that seemed so, the worst thing I've ever been through, and how he's made it such a beautiful thing that's brought us all together, and just shown his grace and his mercy in all of it. And he still does it every day. Currently, we're still in a time of waiting for baby number 3. Maybe yes, maybe no. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. And so I don't know what the future has planned for us, but I'm not going to stress about it this time. And no matter what, I always tell Devin, no matter what happens, no matter how horrible something looks, God is still good. Amen. No matter what. It doesn't Amen. Matter if it is, it doesn't matter. God is still good no matter what. Amen. And if you just keep that, I always keep that in my heart, and that's what helps me get through things, is it doesn't matter. God's still good.